You're listening to Evolver Planet Radio.
Just a woman told my mother before I was born. Say you got a boy child coming. Say you gonna be a son of a gun. Make you pretty women leave me by the hand, and the world will know I'm your coochie man. You know I'm him.
Everybody knows. And what's up, Evolver Planet? Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us this evening. I am your host, Jonah Bolt, and also on the show with us tonight is Aaron Shaw.
Hey guys, today is Friday the 13th, 2012.
And joining us on the show tonight is music artist Chuck Beatty, blues and jazz guy here in North Carolina. And that was a little sample of Chuck's music, and we'll be listening to some more of the music throughout the show tonight. You can check out ChuckBeatty.com, and he'll be joining us a little later in the show for an interview.
We'll also hear a Spore City update about Vancouver, British Columbia Spore.
And also joining us in the second half of the show, we're going to have a guest, which is Sobe Wing at sobe.nexialist.org. And he'll be joining us live from a special event, which some of you Evolver people out there might be at or listening to. Now, first, let's go into some updates and Evolver things and also some news and stuff that's going on. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the Evolver world. Aaron, what'd you find this week? You find any cool articles to talk about?
Well, there's always good stuff on Reality Sandwich. I'm trying to keep up with Charles Eisenstein's Sacred Economics, which he is publishing one chapter at a time on Reality Sandwich, and it's dense and really awesome. So I recommend that. I definitely want to get the print version. And then, like, another Evolver story I thought was really cool, that the a video recently went up of Occupy Pittsburgh and Evolver Pittsburgh collaborated on this little billionaire's ball kind of protest where they dressed up like rich people and handed out, like, fake money and all this chocolate and cheese, like, right around the time of, it was actually around the time of Black Friday, but the video only recently got posted. People just loved it. They were really responding because they were all camping out waiting to get into, like, big, you know, commercial event of the holiday season. So I love that kind of stuff.
Well, that's a cool idea for Evolver Spores to get involved with Occupy. I know they did in New York, and that's really good to hear that other groups are getting involved as well.
Yeah.
And one of the things I saw was on Evolver.net in a new post that Daniel Pinchback put up, and the title was Ethical Fashion. And basically what he's talking about is there's three main issues in ethical fashion, which is environmental waste, mistreatment of workers, especially in the third world, and hypnotism of the media, which keeps people yearning for new stuff, which is obvious to people like us, but the masses are still fast asleep. And he writes a very good article and basically ends on that unless people's consciousness and their level of awareness about what's going on in the earth actually changes, then there's no real hope for any positive transformation. And that's exactly what we're doing here, is trying to get this information out about what's going on, the shift in consciousness, and all the fun things that are coming ahead.
Yeah, I just have hope, you know, people will make the connection when the supply chain comes to a halt.
Ooh, good call on that. I've been talking about that for a while. It's a very delicate situation, the supply chain.
Right, I mean, the supply chain of consumer goods as well as the necessities. I mean, people are going to be asking, if they're not already. There's already plenty of people asking. Like, we just talked about the Occupy movement, and that's not going anywhere. You know, it's hard to stop an idea whose time has come. So we'll be seeing more forms of protest, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And also, one of the things Daniel mentioned in the article, and it's sort of how he ends on, is another, and this is his quote, is, from my perspective, another crucial part of the shift in consciousness is also toward realizing that there are psychic and spiritual dimensions to our lives. And
yeah.
that's awesome. That's what's up. That's huge. And I just thought I'd mention that because that was a definitely, you know, eye-opener for people out there who are new to the dimensions and who we are, conscious beings, multiple dimensional. It's an amazing spiritual journey that we're all on, and it's great to be a part of it, especially with the Evolver family. And I also saw an event that's coming up with Daniel Pinchback and also the director of Thrive, Foster Gamble. Did you see that?
The Evolver Intensive, yeah, it's a really good series.
And that's coming up on January 30th. And so anyone out there listening, you could take part in that as well. I think you can get more information on Evolver.net or Reality Sandwich.
Yeah, Reality Sandwich. There's been an interesting back and forth about Thrive on Reality Sandwich too, where Charles Eisenstein posted his critique, and then the director posted his critique of the critique, and they've really taken that movie on. It's funny.
Wow, no, I haven't seen that.
Good read.
And that's about it on what I've saw. Any other updates that you have?
Well, there's a lot of exciting stuff on the horizon for the Spore Networks. I know the movie Electronic Awakening is making its rounds around the Spore cities. We're looking to do a screening really soon. And Electronic Awakening is made over 5 years. It's pretty much an ethnography of the electronic music culture. And so that, you know, that encompasses raves, Burning Man, all sorts of things. It talks about electronic music as a form of a spiritual technology that gives people access to other states of mind. Looks really good to me. I can't wait to see it and screen it here for Evolver LA.
Yeah, it's a great movie, and I've actually spoken. We've had Julian Reyes on the show, and
that's
also
right.
The director. Yeah, they've been on the show, and it is an amazing documentary, and I highly recommend it. Definitely, we want to do a movie, a viewing of that one down here in Asheville, Evolver as well. So we're looking to do that in the upcoming months as well.
Yeah, they're hitting all the Spore cities. I mean, or at least a few Spore cities. So we'll keep you.
That's
up
what's
to see.
Up.
Yeah.
And so all the people out there, if you haven't seen Thrive, check it out. It's a really good documentary. And also electronicawakening.com, you can check out, and that's for the Electronic Awakening. And with that, we're going to get Chuck on the line. And Chuck will be joining us live from Asheville, North Carolina. He's a blues and jazz artist and has been singing blues and jazz for over 30 years. And as soon as we get Chuck on the line, which the station's calling right now, we'll start talking to him. So when you checked out Chuck's website, what was your first impressions? Did you like his music? How did it hit you?
Yeah, you know, I can't say that I have a really refined appreciation for blues, but I do really appreciate that he's a music historian too. And I'm sure that's interesting. You know, the first line of his bio, longtime blues aficionado and music historian Chuck Beatty. You know, he's got something to say about the music and the soul of it. So he'll be good to talk to you. Also, AKA Dr. Blues. Very interesting.
There you go. And with that, I believe Chuck is joining us. Chuck, how you doing?
Doing great. Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Great. Thanks so much for coming on the air. So let's first start off by talking a little bit about how you got started, blues and jazz. I know you're originally from North Carolina, and that's where you presently reside, in Western North Carolina, and you basically front a Chicago-style blues band now, and you travel over the country, the world, performing. So how'd you first get into the blues and jazz, and how has it changed over the years?
Well, I first started in gospel as a young kid. I came from Eastern North Carolina, which is known for black gospel. It's actually ground zero, pretty much, for gospel. And started playing, in bands in high school and junior high school. I was playing trumpet back then and bass guitar. I've been involved in music most of my life. And I started out playing just regular R&B and soul music. Had no interest really in the blues whatsoever. Started playing jazz later on in life, and I guess it was the summer of 1977. I took a long drive down into southern Florida. And as I passed through the state of South Carolina, I picked up the South Carolina Public Radio. And it's one of those repeater stations, so you hear the same program as you go throughout the state. The same frequency will pick up. And they played a lot of blues. And I actually heard a Muddy Waters song. I actually pulled the car over. This was pre-cell phone days. And went to a phone booth and called the station because I wanted to know who the last two artists were playing music. And the last two artists that were played in that order were Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters. And that's pretty much my baptismal into the world of the blues. I just was consumed by it. And I've been playing a lot of reggae, a lot of jazz. But I just never seriously looked at the blues, and I just really fell in love with it.
Now you travel all over, and you performed all over the world. And how is it like a change from when you first got started to now? Now it's a different style, or how do you see the jazz and blues, you know, changing?
Well, I'm pretty much, you know, we are a product of what we've seen and experienced in our lives. And so I guess initially I was trying to sound like the people that I emulated. And later on, I stopped even looking at the lyrics. I stopped even, you know, looking at their chord changes. And I just started putting me into the music. And pretty much develop my own style, my own approach. I try to stay close and true to the music, but I don't note for note play anything or even lyric for lyric. You know, I put my own take on the music, and so for me, it's evolved over time it's evolved into you know, my own representation of the blues.
Nice, that's what's up. And the music you play, why do you play the music you play, Chuck, like the jazz and blues?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm in my lectures, I title my lectures Roots, The Origins of American Music. And my thesis is that all American music, you know, that which we can call, truly American music, stems from basically the blues, the work songs, the field hollers, all of the music. As I began to research, I found out that, you know, country, western, bluegrass, all of these types of music that are blends of, you know, former Celtic and other influences, when you talk to the leaders in these fields, in these different genres, for instance, Mother Maybelle Carter, in her books, she readily admits that she learned from black players, you know, the chord changes, the harmonies, and other things like that. Bill Monroe, in his book, he gives honor to those people who he heard playing what we call the Negro spirituals, and he started harmonizing based on what he had heard black players play. So, you know, I got the idea that this music had influenced, and it was actually originally, you know, American music. Some people say, well, you know, the blues, it came from Africa. Well, it has some African origins, but there is no blues in Africa. Blues is the result of the experience of Africans in America. And so it is truly American music. And so, you know, I thought it was important that I represent that music and try to you know, have something to pass on to the next generation, because I saw that not that the music was dying, but it was just not commercially viable, and what's not commercially viable tends not to get paid attention to. And sure. I just, you know, regardless of its commercial viability, I thought that I should try to be one of those people that flew that flag and carried that banner forward. And, you know, I hope to be remembered as one of the people that helped to stimulate people to take a look at this music and to continue to play it and not just, you know, marginalize it, you know, as being just, oh, it's just three chords. I've taken many a young person on stage with me who said, oh, it's just three chords. And by the end of the night, they say, hey, I see things a little differently now, because there's a lot of music there. You know, the five-tone pentatonic scale and the three-chord changes. You know, if you really look at it, it's some really serious music.
Yeah, that's something that I was curious about in seeing that you play, you know, festivals and parties and music and clubs and things like that. You must come into contact with a range of people who, you know, either really appreciate blues or have never really heard it, like, you know, before you went on that long drive in Florida. So how do people respond? Like, do you notice something when you have turned somebody on to blues and your kind of music?
Yeah, you know, there's several responses I really am enamored of. And I'll give you the range, the range of those. You know, the older people that say, I remember when I first heard this music. You know, we weren't allowed to play it, but I heard this music, and I really have always loved it. And that's an artifact of living in the South. And, you know, the history of the South is what it was. It was separation. Mm-hmm. And anytime you have separation, there is one element of the group that's always going to seek out that thing that's forbidden. And so, you know, I've met people who know as much about the blues and its history as I do, because they hungered for it because it was forbidden. And I also meet young people, you know, who have no prejudice whatsoever about any kind of music whatsoever. And it makes them smile. It makes them happy. They dance, you know, little kids. I love playing the public arenas because children get introduced to this music. Children are not going to get introduced if you only play nightclubs. And so if you get out, you know, where children can have access and listen to the music, they're quite fond of it. And there's a song that I do, Flip Flop Fly, I Don't Care If I Die. Yeah, I always do that for the children, and to have them to come up and participate in the song. I teach it to them, have them sing the song with me on stage. And it's something they will always remember. They'll carry that memory with them.
Chuck, can you sing a line from that song for us right now? Sing a line from the song.
Flip, flop, and fly. Don't care if I die. Don't ever leave me. Don't ever say goodbye. Feel like a Mississippi bulldog sitting on a hollow log. Feel like a Mississippi bulldog sitting on a hollow log. When the women go by, all I can say is, hot dog.
Nice. Yeah. Chuck, let me ask you, how did you get the name Dr. Blues? Where did that come from?
Okay, you're going to pull the covers off here.
I want to hear it.
You know, I don't want to sound like I'm not genuine, but I'm the real deal. But I'm also educated. I have a PhD in statistics. And I was doing some interns from the University of North Carolina, and one of my interns also was interested in the blues. And so we got together and played music together in addition to his assignment as an intern with me in my office where I did some consulting. And when I was asked to do a blues jam in a little town north of here called Weaverville, one night there was an act that got snowed in over the mountain over in Tennessee, and they could not come over into Buncombe County. And so I was asked to play some music, and I pulled together some people from the blues jam, and we didn't even have a name. And so, you know, everybody calls me Chuck Beatty. So, you know, I said, well, you know, maybe the Chuck Beatty Band or something. And my intern said, no, don't do that. Let's call it the Dr. Blues Band. And I said, I don't want to do that, you know. And so, you know, we started out with Chuck Beatty and Blues by Design because my business was called Databases by Design. And so, you know, that was the name that kind of stuck. But then people started calling me Dr. Blues, not knowing that I actually really had a PhD, but my students knew that I had a PhD, and they would call me Dr. Blues. And so it kind of stuck. I found out a little bit later on there are several Dr. Blueses in the business, you know, Dr. Blues and the house called Doctors and all kinds of, you know, made up names on it. But I'm the real Dr. Blues because I do have a doctorate. So that's
so interesting. You have your doctorate in statistics, and statistics is so much about removing yourself from the analysis. And then your Dr. Blues, really putting yourself into your music. That's a funny little, like, kind of double life you lead. That's very cool.
Yeah, and it was a great transition for me to really step out. I stepped out as a full-time musician around 1999.
Oh, wow.
And left the corporate world behind. And it was a leap of faith. It really was. But I decided that if I really believed in myself, that this was the time for me to do that. And at the time, I was turning about 50 years old, and, you know, it's that midlife thing. You look at what are you going to do with the rest of your life. And so, you know, a lot of that was going through my mind, I guess, at the time. And I just decided that I would just continue to work on the music. And it has blessed me so very, very much. I mean, you know, I got invited to be the headliner of the third annual Bury Blues Festival, Manchester Bury, in the United Kingdom. And I went not because I had a PhD in statistics from Florida State University, or because, you know, I was a pilot, and I was a licensed pilot, or any of my other skills. You know, I went based on the fact that I knew how to play guitar and knew how to sing. And people had heard me sing, heard my records, invited me to come over, and I was the headliner of that festival. And that was a high point in my life, actually. It was a realization of a dream. And, you know, I've always known that, you know, hard work and persistence, you know, pays off. I have a tagline on my emails that says, if you don't quit, you win. You know, as long as you stay in there and hang in there. And persistence is a great value, and, you know, and so that's one of the things that I live by, you know.
Nice. And Chuck, do you have any, like, new albums you're working on or new songs coming out?
We're in the studio. Yeah, we're in the studio right now. We're working on a project that I've entitled Natural Man. I got the title because people continue to comment, and when they say, you know, you're so natural at this, you're such a natural, you know, you're the real deal. And I get the real deal has kind of become a cliche, you know, expression. But I really picked up when they, you know, you're a real natural at this. It's a God-given talent, and you know, I give honor to God for, you know, making me a vessel to be able to, entertain people, make their lives a little better. For, you know, having known my music and listen to my music. I mean, my music brings joy to people. And so I entitled this Natural Man, and I'm just coming at it full force with all original tunes, stuff that I write, and friends that have written and donated to me for this project. So I'm just really looking forward to this. We're hoping with Jonah's help, we'll probably get this project off the ground and get it maybe released by July. And hopefully I'll be ready to tour that for the fall and going into 2013.
Nice. Excellent.
And all these songs are all original songs, Chuck?
Every one of them. Original songs. Every one of them. Yeah.
Excellent. And where can we find some of your music? I know you got chuckbeattie.com. And are there any other places
people can check it? Yeah, my website is chuckbeattie.com. There's also a site called Jukebox Live that carries my music. Jukeboxalive.com. And also cdbaby.com also has my music.
Awesome. And Aaron, did you have anything else to say to Chuck?
You can get my music at my shows live, you know. And I'll sign it for you. I'll sign this thing for you. How about that?
There you have it.
Great.
Evolver Planet, you heard it live from Chuck Beattie. Order it, he'll sign it for you. And Chuck, your music is awesome. I had it played all night here at the house, and it's always a pleasure talking to you. And that's what's up. Aaron, did you have anything to say to Chuck?
Oh, well, thanks for sharing, Dr. Blues. That was awesome.
Yeah, invite me out. Sometimes I'll come out and do some lectures and some performances. I'll be glad to do that.
Yeah.
Excellent. I will. All right, Chuck, you have a great night. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate you inviting me on your show. Thank you very much.
You got it, Chuck. Have a good night. And with that, we're going to listen to a little bit more of Chuck Beattie. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Sobey Wing. So enjoy a little bit more of the jazz and blues. And welcome back. You're listening to Evolver Planet Radio. That was some more music from Chuck Betty. That was an awesome interview. And thanks again, Chuck, for coming on the show.
Yeah, next we're going to hear a spore update from... Actually, our guest is going to play a dual role, giving us a spore update on Vancouver spore. And also we're going to go into an interview with him next. Here is Sobe Wing from Vancouver. Talk a little bit about the spore going on there.
Hello. Yeah, we have been doing spores in Vancouver since they got launched 2 years ago. And there's been almost every month that there's been a spore theme. We've hit them, and we've covered some topics, you know, ranging from gift economy and issues around water, a whole range of topics that relate to this sort of paradigm shift. And we're getting ready to host the co-founder, Jonathan Phillips, for his Electric Jesus book launch on the 27th.
Nice.
And in books. And we've also got him for our this month's spore, which is going to theme the, or meld together the theme of the unified field with the 2012 theme of the next month of February's topic. So we're going to have a panel that kind of looks at the more optimistic side of what we can make of this time of 2012. And we're going to flow into an evening of underground electronic dance music, which is a format that I've used before, some of the spores.
Really cool. That's what's up. Do you guys do a lot of dance parties up there after your Evolver meetings typically?
Well, I sometimes do when I see a desire to kind of engage a youth audience and or some have a little bit more of a, because it does bring together a larger crowd often, but it's definitely, you know, there's a financial aspect to it too, so it all depends. It's sometimes nice to do these close intimate spores with just, you know, even a living room I've had of people of in a private location. And but then, yeah, it's kind of nice to do it up a little more and bring more of a charge to it with some loud amplified music. I did one with the Rite of Passage spore where we had we brought in a portable labyrinth and had a ceremonial rite of passage with the labyrinth and had the music follow afterwards after we had done like a two-hour session. That was more like panel guests and things like that. But yeah, this is an exciting collaboration with one of our new kind of underground collective spaces, the Merge Studio, and another collaborator called Connecting Circles.
Awesome. And have you... Sorry, go ahead, Erin.
And Sobe, I was just wondering if you do much of this yourself or if you work on a team regularly or how do you go about this?
Yeah, I've been the principal organizer in Vancouver. Actually, like, I guess the way it started was I had made contact with Daniel Pinchbeck, or you'd heard of me as well, when we were at Burning Man, and I saw his Medicine magazine that he was touring with, and I did a magazine launch in the city at the Cannabis Culture Building, and I've been doing events on my own in the electronic music dance community as well, so kind of was familiar with the creating of salons and creating of workshops in conjunction with events and festivals, and I saw it as an opportunity to work together with other groups and collaborate. So I've had some really good partnerships with groups like the Transition Town Movement in Vancouver, which goes to Village Vancouver, and the Permaculture Network and a few other groups. But principally, I am the main person who will go out and find people and outreach with them. And then I've had a few people have helped me to with the behind-the-scenes stuff and with the one thing we like to do sometimes is live stream and record that. So I've had some people help with that as well. And creating little, we've had an experiment in creating little press, or what do you call it, like a little short video clip to warm up the topic. And so, yeah, I'm definitely looking to do more of that in the coming year, and we're going to be doing a big push for that at next four, is to engage more people to jump in, because a lot of people express that interest.
Very cool.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of stuff, good stuff you got going on up there. And Sobi, what's going on with your blog and things you're doing? Not with the Spore group, but personally, you have a blog, sobi.nexialist.org, and you have a TEDx video. You just did a TEDx talk not too long ago. So get us into what's going on in your mind, what's your blog about, and what are you doing to put it out there?
Well, I guess mentioning before, I've had a lot of involvement in underground, so electronic dance music culture, and in that process was melding in some of the sort of spiritual kind of dimensions of, you know, the paradigm shift and the dance culture here. We were definitely, not just myself, but other people were locking into the 2012 thing, like back in 98 or so. And it began to influence me over time, just this marking of transition. We would do New Year's events and do like a retreat and bring in like workshops and ceremonies. And also equinoxes and solstices, and in the past more recent years, there's been this festival that I've been a part of called the NPOs Festival, which is a countdown to 2012. And so I started really homing in on these transition points that were happening on a planetary scale, and then I started to see that it's this rite of passage thing that's happening in the world right now, and I'm just right now at an event with Charles Eisenstein, and he was just speaking about the very exact same thing, about how, you know, we're transitioning into a world of, you know, wanting to express our gifts and reconnect everything that's been disconnected. So it's this trajectory that I've been really focusing on and boiling it down to how this is something that each individual craves as well, and that it's the, you know, as the anthropologist's view of this idea of rites of passage regards it, it's the glue that keeps societies in a healthy and resilient manner. So that website and that talk is essentially me really hammering that message that, you know, we need to create these rites of passage that are relevant for a contemporary society. And I've been working with individuals and groups to create something that speaks to the language of today and the modern context that we're in, while definitely studying and exploring the traditions of initiation in the mystery schools, as well as the shamanic indigenous cultures, and how they maintain a unity in their culture through ceremonies and keep it strong in that way.
Yeah, Sobi, I have so much to ask you about rites of passage. I wanted to ask you quickly, though, you're at a Charles Eisenstein event now, like at a reading?
Yeah, he's here for his book launch, as well as doing a transition leadership tomorrow, which I'll take part in as well.
a transition leadership?
Wow,
is
cool.
It a, wow, a workshop or something?
Yeah, it's going to be an all-day workshop ending with a two-hour panel with some other
people
involved in alternative economics.
Awesome. So going back to what you were saying about rites of passage, I wanted to ask you, I read in your bio that relatively recently you went to the Amazon and met with the Yawanawa people, and I wonder how that, what you took from them, how that might have, how you wove that into your rites of passage facilitation and counseling.
Yeah, there's, I guess there's a few layers there, but some of them would be that for somebody, growing up in North America who had never been to Amazon, but had, understood its significance on a biological scale and a cultural diversity scale, to actually go there meant that I, had become more of that global citizen that I think that is emerging in our modern world, and having that context, which because of all of our consumer actions have those impacts on those remote places.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really connected those dots for me and made me really see that I want to commit to making some difference in what's going on in the atrocities in the Amazon basin. And it was a strenuous and arduous and challenging journey. Definitely not a relaxation type of getaway. It was about surviving an ordeal, which is a big part of a rite of passage in a way. It's like you go through this separation from your comfort, and then you go into the ordeal, and in that place, you kind of discover what you're made of and what you can reform yourself into, and showed sort of a resilience and definitely inspiring me in that was the ways that the tribe there was very much an embodiment of a culture that had constituted its origins and its legacy of thousands of years from near extinction. So it was a beautiful thing to witness how they did that, which was encapsulated in their festival, which we were the guests for, and we saw them doing powerful demonstrations of collective unification around music and song and language, preserving a language that is very ancient, that's being preserved, and only two elders were the keepers of that language, so it had really gotten down to the bare bone. And then, of course, there's sacramental plants that they were using, and a diverse range of them, but the one that I got to partake in was the ayahuasca, which in their language they call you uni. And I saw for them that it was less about finding out who you are and what your purpose is, which kind of seems to be something for newcomers to that plant to approach it with, and more of something that was helping them as a people to find that guidance and to figure out the dilemmas of how to deal with an encroaching world that wants to take away what is underneath their feet. And so that was definitely a big takeaway, is that about the medicines and about the experience of interdependence and having a tribe that makes it its practice to come together to do something as simple as singing songs. And that's what they would do on a Saturday night. That was their fulfillment. And it was very humbling to see that.
It must have been an amazing experience to go down the Amazon, one place I've always wanted to go. That sounds like amazing. And
there's a lot of fear states you go through, you know. You never know what you're going to encounter there, and there were definitely some, deadly things that were very close at hand.
Wow, I can't even imagine what's in the jungle out there. And tell us a little bit of just about your blog and what type of information you put up on there.
I spoke about the rites of passage services, and so that's mainly what that blog's about. And I guess I'll also mention my community kind of hub, which is tribalharmonics.org, and that's a community hub that's been connecting various event producers and attendees, and providing a tribal classifieds and a forum to reflect on our events that we've been to. And in this day of Facebook, it's been languishing in a sense, but it's also calling for a renewal. And I think a lot of people are now ready perhaps to see a return to having more of a cyber community through forums and through having a means to have e-commerce and things like this. So this is something that I'm working on with my community, is to create a physical hub, not just a virtual one, that will eventually branch into having a retreat center out of the city. But Vancouver is just a great, diverse, the turnout here for Charles Eisenstein is pretty astounding, and it's probably one of the best turnouts he's had on his tour. And it's a reflection of, the interest level in these kind of things that's going on in Vancouver right now. And, so I just want to keep working on that. And then, maybe with Evolver Vancouver, start to grow our own presence as well through maybe having our own site or something like that. But, and then the other one is Earth Dance Vancouver. It's been another project I've been tendering and stewarding, which is connected with Tribal Harmonics and has partnered with Evolver Vancouver as well. And I've been connecting with the global network, the Earth Dance Network, which I think has a lot of potential. It's just been waiting to really kick in more. But already I've met quite a few amazing event producers around the world and inspired some startup in the Philippines. And it's a vibrant network, more centered on the celebration aspect, but definitely a vehicle to bring focus towards relevant issues and raise money towards causes.
That is so awesome to hear, Sobe. You have a lot going on, for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm really especially glad to hear that, you see the popularity of these events as a sign of people's interest arising, and I think you're right there, but I'm always glad to hear somebody else say it.
Yeah, well, you guys know as Evolvers that,
yeah,
a good way of gauging what's going on there, and it definitely keeps the hope alive. And I'll mention another thing we're just starting to partner with here. Evolvers partnering now with the New Agora, which is Canadian newsprint publication. It has a bit of an online thing as well, but there's been definitely a need for good old-fashioned newsprint type of media, and filling that niche, I think you're going to see hopefully a growth of this publication, which already has quite a few amazing articles that cover things that are not covered in the mainstream media. And Evolver's made a nice connection with it already, so I think there's going to be a bit of Reality Sandwich crossover into that. And hopefully it'll spread from a local Vancouver thing to a national Canadian thing, and hopefully an international thing. There's interest from the States in this publication as well. And the agora actually is a Greek term for the meeting place or the gathering place where ideas and commerce and politics are all exchanged. So I feel very optimistic about it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Awesome. Well, Sobi, we'll let you get back to your lecture there, but thank you so much for taking the time and coming on the station here and talking with us.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in with us. And big love to the audience and to all the evolvers and supporters out there.
Great talking to you, Sobi.
Yep, that's what's up. Thanks, Sobi. Have a good night. And with us coming up next week and January 20th, we have guest Sibley Balsam, and she is a collaborator with Nature and Biological Physical Intelligence, and she's going to be an amazing guest to have. She has a lot of stuff to share with us, and we'll also be getting a Spore City update from Los Angeles, California.
And then on January 27th, same time, same place, we'll be hearing from Ben Lawson, founder of the Gaian Mind Institute. You can read more about Gaian Mind Institute at gaian-mind.org. And we'll be hearing music and a little interview from musical artist Thea Summer Deer.
And on February 3rd, the week after that, we got Chris Hoover coming on the show. He's an author and visionary, and he just has his new book, or put his new book out, imagine-freedom.com. And Chris is a personal friend of mine. I've known him for a while, and I'm glad to see his new book is out. And that's going to be a really, really cool interview, so make sure you check back in with us on that. You can always check evolverplanetradio.com. for all the upcoming guests, some news articles we post. If you have any questions or recommendations for guests, just send us an email on there, and we'll try to get them on the show for you. And with that, that finishes up all the updates and everything for tonight. And as always, check out Evolver.net and RealitySandwich.net for updates and articles on the Evolver world. And that's it from Asheville, North Carolina.
And from Los Angeles, California. Good night, Evolver Planet.
Good night, Evolver Planet. Talk to you soon.
On the floor, they were.